Parshas Bahar B'chukreisai. The dominant theme in Parshas Bahar is, of course, the mitzvah of Shemitah. As the Torah writes, V'shavsta ha'aretz, the land must rest. Sheish shonim, it is for 6 years that you can work the land. But then u'b'shona ha'shvi'is, in the seventh year, you have to rest the land, and that is the mitzvah of Shvi'is Shemitah. If the Torah writes B'shono HaShvi'is in the seventh year, then l'chayra we would expect that normal rules should apply. When does that year begin? Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishri, at Seis HaKrichovim, when nightfall arrives. The Chora, we would say, that is when Shemitah arrives together with the onset of the new year. However, we know that Halacha, that is not the case. So too, at the other end, when it comes to the end of the seventh year, again, if the Torah tells us that the Shemitah is during the seventh year, just as you'd expect that to arrive when? At Rosh Hashanah, at the onset of the seventh year, L'chayra, that would terminate at Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the seventh year, the beginning of the eighth. And as we know, that's also not true. Because we have a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah in the first perek of Masech HaShvi'is. It's a Gemara in a number of places. And the Gemara tells us that, in fact, there is a principle called Toisefes Shvi'is. The addition to Shvi'is. This is learned from a posuk. Which posuk is this learned from? Because the Torah writes, you must refrain micharisha and from kitzira, both from plowing and also from reaping the produce, harvesting the produce. So the Gemara asks, the Mishnah asks, why does the Torah need to write this? It has already written that you cannot do these malachas during Shvi'is. So why the repetition? Says the Mishnah. The Mishnah is coming to tell me, the Pasuk is coming to tell me, that not only is it also during Shvi'is, during the seventh year, but also Erev Shvi'is, on the sixth, going into the seventh. So too, the seventh, going into the eighth, that is also also. And that is the Chiddush of that additional Pasuk. So again, even though the Torah quite clearly says that Shemitah is the Shona HaShvi'is, you'd expect that to be from Rosh Hashanah unto Rosh Hashanah, but actually it's not. When is it? It's a little bit before Rosh Hashanah. It finishes after Rosh Hashanah, and this is the principle that we know is called Tosefes Shvi'is. Now this principle of Tosefes, as we well know, is not exclusive only to Shemitah. Those who are in our Gemara Shir at the moment, in the mornings, we've just been learning all about Tosefes Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara learns it from Psukim, that there exists a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. Again, is Shabbos a 24-hour day of rest? That's what you would think. It's actually not. It begins, actually, prior to nightfall. It terminates, well, after nightfall. And that is the principle of Tosefes Shabbos. The Gemara then says that there exists also the principle of Tosefes Yom Tov. Yom Tov also doesn't just arrive with the onset of nightfall. It arrives early, it terminates early, because that's called Tosefes Yom Tov. And the Gemara says in conclusion, so too Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, also learned from Sukkim. We would think that when is Yom Kippur? It is the 10th of Tishri. If it is the 10th of Tishri, when is that? L'chaira, nightfall. Actually, not. You bring it in early, you take it out late, and there we have it, Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And in fact, the Gemara says in conclusion, Kol Mokoy. In every place, Sheyesh Boy Shvus, whenever you have a day of rest, or a year of rest, Moisifin Michoel Al HaKodesh. You always have to add a little bit of choil prior to the onset of Shabbos, or prior to the onset of Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shmittah, and so too post Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shmittah, Yom Kippur, we always add. And this is the principle of Tosefos. And it is this yisod of Tosefos that I'd like to spend a moment or two discussing this evening, because I think it's a very important principle, and I think it has particular relevance to the period that we find ourselves in right at the moment. Because I think that a question must be asked. What does this mean, Tosefos? If after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the seventh day of the week to be a day of rest, Shabbos Lashem, so let that be the seventh day. Why is it indeed a little bit before and a little bit after? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Yom HaKippurim to be the Yom HaDin, then why all of a sudden is it extended a little bit before, a little bit afterwards? Shmittah, if the seventh year is supposed to be the Shabbos Shabbosayim Lashem, then why indeed does it begin early and leave late? Now, obviously, we don't really and seriously mean to ask why. If we ask why, then the answer is because that's what the Torah says. What we really mean to ask is, what is this teaching us? Why do we keep it? And why is this so? Because we have a pasuk and drashas min ha-Torah. But what are we to learn from this? What does this teach us, this principle of Tosefos? So I'd like to suggest an answer which is based on the writings of a Ksav Sofer in a drasha of his in Yomim Noiroyim. There is a chazal, and if you listen carefully to this chazal, it seems on the surface to be extremely bizarre. Extremely bizarre. This is in fact the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, as quoted by the Rishonim, and in fact the Tor quotes it in Hilchos Yom Kippur. And it says as follows. The Malach comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the accusing Malach, and he says as follows. Shaloi nimtza bohem. There is nothing to be found in Klal Yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim, chait. I do not see any sin in Klal Yisrael on this day of Yom Kippur. And the Malach says to Hashem, wow, Riboin kolo elomim, the master of all universes, you have one nation, kemaloche hashoris. They seem to be conducting themselves literally like malachim. In what way? Malachim don't eat or drink. Look at this nation. They're also not eating or drinking. Malachim, although they have raglaim and feet, they have no shoes. Look at this nation. On Yom Kippur, exactly the same. So too, malachim all get along in harmony. Shalom. Kulom ahuvim, kulom berurim. So too, Klal Yisrael comes to Yom Kippur. Everybody's asked mechila from their friends. There's shalom beinehem. They seem to be exactly like Yom Kippur, exactly like Malachim. And finally says this Malach, just like Malachim, are nekiim mikol chait, are cleansed from all averas, so too Klal Yisrael are also nekiim, cleansed mikol chait b'yom ha-kippurim. End of Medrash. And what, of course, is the obvious question? This hardly sounds like an accusation. This is the accusing Malach. This is the katego. You'd expect this Malach to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, look at the Averas and they're being over, and they don't really deserve a kapara. And rather, we hear the exact opposite. We hear the Malach say, look at Klal Yisrael on this day of Yom Kippur, like Malachim, Nekiim Mikol Chet V'Yom HaKippurim. What on earth is the accusation of this Malach? It sounds like that he is the most complimentary to Klal Yisrael and not critical at all. Says the Heiliger Ksav Sefer in the Droshes in the year Tof Reish Tes Zayin 1856. He says there is one word which is the key to understanding this entire Chazal. Did you notice, says the Ksav Sefer, that this Malach, indeed the accusing Malach, didn't say that Klal Yisrael are Nekiim Mikol Chet. He didn't just say that they are cleansed of all Averas. Do you know what he said? They're Nekiim Mikol Chet V'Yoyim HaKippurim. Says the Ksav Sefer, that is the accusation. The accusation against Klal Yisrael is, look at the way they behave on Yom Kippur. Clearly they are capable of reaching great heights. So why are they different on other days? If they wouldn't behave like this on Yom Kippur, well, perhaps we could suggest they are not capable of really aspiring to be like Malach. But if I see that they're Nekiim Mikol Chet, do you know what the problem is? They're Nekiim Mikol Chet B'Yom HaKippurim, on that day, and on that day only. That's the problem, says the accusing Malach. And that indeed is an enormous criticism. That's a big taina against Klal Yisrael. If indeed they're able to reach such heights in Yom Kippur, then why indeed is it limited to Yom Kippur? And I found very similar in the Shloh, in Parashas Vayishlach, he quotes this Medrash as well, and he says exactly the same. I see that Klal Yisrael are conducting themselves the Kedusha. When? On Yom Kippur. The Lomo Lo Ya'asu Kein Dvar Yoyim B'Yoyimoy. So why can't they be like that on every single day? That's the Taina of the Malach. The Taina of the Malach is indeed, they are like Malachi Ashores. When? One day a year, V'Yoyim HaKippurim. That is the way the Ksav Sefer explains that puzzling Maimon Chazal. So maybe it's possible to suggest, what indeed is our response? The Malach has an enormous taina, an indictment against Klal Yisrael. They're only Kodesh one day a year. When? 10th of Tishri on Yom Kippur. Do you know what our response is? Our response is Tosfos Yoyim HaKippurim. I'm sorry, Malach, it's not true. It's not limited to one day a year. It spills over the other end onto the 11th of Tishri. In fact, it's brought forward early to the 9th of Tishri, so you couldn't be more wrong. It's not limited to Nekiim Mikol Chet B'Yom HaKippurim. No. They conduct themselves like Malachim on Erev Yom Kippur. They conduct themselves like Malachim on Motzei Yom Kippur. They are not one day a year Jews. On Erev Yom Kippur, they have a whole build-up. They have the period of Elul. They had the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So too on Motzei Yom Kippur, as they then prepare themselves for Sukkos. That is the concept of Tosfos Yom HaKippurim. And maybe therefore, that therefore is the general concept of Tosefos. We asked, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Metzaveh Klal Yisrael with Shabbos, so why taste the Shabbos a bit before, a bit after? A bit before Yom Tov, a bit after Yom Tov. A bit before Shvius, a bit after Shvius. And the answer is, because ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to limit, didn't want us to limit that Hisoiris, that Kedusha, one day a week, one Yom Tov a year, 1 year every seven. To the contrary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to bring it early. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to keep it going. So that all of that inspiration, all of the yesoidos, all of the hisoirus, that we are indeed, we mischazik ourselves on Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Shemitah, make sure there's a Tosefes. Make sure there's a Tosefes. In fact, halachically, and we discussed this in our morning share this week, halachically, there are many proofs that when you bring in Shabbos early and you take out Shabbos late, it doesn't merely mean that the Shabbos grew. When you bring in Shabbos early, it's still Friday. It has the Kedusha of Shabbos. It has the Kedusha of Shabbos. I hope everybody's counted Sfiras HaOmer. But if you haven't, you're allowed to count tomorrow as well. And what happens if you're Mekabel Shabbos early? You can still count Sfiras HaOmer of Friday. Do you know why? Because it's still Friday. It has the Kedusha of Shabbos. And that is Halacha LeMaaseh, by the way, brought in Siman Tov Pei Tes in Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer. It's still Friday. What we see in this halacha is, indeed, it is Friday. It's injected with the Kedusha of Shabbos. So too, on Motzah Shabbos, if you haven't counted Sfiras HaOmer of that day, it's too late. Why? It's still Shabbos. I haven't made Havdalah yet. No, it's now Sunday. The Kedusha of Shabbos spills over to Sunday. The Kedusha of Yom Tov, the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim, and the Kedusha of Shvi'is, Shemitah, which is this week's parasha subject, spills over in all directions. And that's the way that we silence the criticizing Malach. That accusing Malach who says that they are one day a year Jews, Nekiyim Mikol Chet, when? The Yom HaKippurim. We have a one word answer for him, and that is Tosefes. On the 9th of Tishri, on the 11th of Tishri, we do our utmost. We ensure that the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim spills over in all directions. You know, I'll tell you a magnificent addition. I once mentioned this principle to my father-in-law, Mr. Turner, in London. And he said to me the most wonderful Tosefes, if we can call it that. How many times did the Kohen Gadol toivel on Yom HaKippurim? The answer is 10 times. Why 10 times? Because he changed into his big day kahuna of Yom HaKippurim 5 times. So he had to toivel every time, once before and once after. So my father-in-law said to me, one moment, I understand the first 9. But after that final change, when he's changing back into the regular clothes, why is he toiveling then? He's finished the avodah. So he explains so beautifully, that's the tzvila. The tzvila is now sanctifying himself for the continued avodah even after Yom Kippur. That's what he's being mekadosh. He's not merely saying, right, the job is done, it's all over, Yom Kippur is now behind us. No! When all of the avodah is finished, in fact, then it begins. Then he needs another tefillah. He has to be mekadosh himself for the continuation, for the tosefes. How long is that? We hope for the whole year. There's a pasuk we say every single week, Shabbos morning, V'shomru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, la'asos es ha-Shabbos l'doyreisa. Listen to the way that the Chasam Sofer explains this in Parashas Kisisa. And he says, V'shomru v'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos. Klal Yisrael should guard the Shabbos. How so? In what way should they guard the Shabbos? So he says, do you know how? La'asos es ha-Shabbos l'doyreisom. In order that they keep it Shabbos l'doyreisom for all times. Make sure that your Shabbos is not limited to Shabbos. make sure that you keep your Shabbos in what way? That in fact it's l'dayraisam, it's for all times. What happens if you keep Shabbos, by the way? What's the schar? Do you know what the Gemara tells us? If anybody is ma'ameges ha-Shabbos, they are zeichet to what? Nachalo b'li metzorim. Nachalo b'li metzorim, which we mentioned in the Zmirais, means they are zeichet to a portion of land b'li metzorim, without boundaries. Limitless. Says the Chasam Sofer in Parashas Emor, why such a phenomenal schar? A non-boundaried piece of land, says the Chasam Sofer, because that's the way he's keeping his Shabbos as well. Non-boundaried. It spills over on Erev Shabbos, it spills over on Motzeh Shabbos, it's B'li Metzorim. The Shabbos itself is not limited. Nightfall in, nightfall out. No! On either end of Shabbos, there are no Metzorim. And if there are no Metzorim, there are no boundaries, then in turn, Mido Keneged Mido, you are Zeicha to Nachal Obli Metzorim. In fact, it's been explained that Chazal tell us famously that if Klal Yisrael would keep two Shabbosais, we would be Zeicha to the Geula. And many ask, why two? One isn't good enough. And some explained, you know what this means? Two Shabbosais really means that you keep the Shabbos going from Shabbos to Shabbos. That's what it means, two Shabbosais. That's the principle of Tosefes Shabbos. We don't switch off on Motzeh Shabbos and then switch back on Friday night. We keep the Shabbos going. L'dayraisam. It's Nachala B'li Metzorim. Limitless. This is, I think, the Asoiz of Tosfos. Of which Tosfos? Every Tosfos. Tosfos Shabbos, Tosfos Yom Tov, Tosfos Yom HaKippurim, and Tosfos Shmita. The Moirai V'Rabboi say, there is one other area in the Torah where we find that there is a period of Kedusha in somebody's life. Besides for the officially designated times, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur and Shemitah, that there exists my own personal period of Kedusha. And that is, of course, the parasha in Parashas Nosoi of Nazirus. I wasn't told that I must, but I want to be Mekabelo myself to be a Nozir, because I want to be Kodesh. Do you know what the Torah writes? The Torah writes that after the Nozir has finished his Nazirus, he brings his Korbonos, and then the Torah writes very strange words. He's finished his Nazirus now. Says the Pasuk, Ba'achar, and after that, Yishte ha-Nozir Yayin. Now the Nozir can drink wine. With the obvious question, of course, being, he's no longer a Nozir. Why are you calling him a Nozir? He's finished the Nazirus. He just bought his Karbonos. Listen to the phenomenal words of the Alshech. Says the Alshech, through his Kedusha, through his Prisha, whilst he was a Nozir, Yikne, he has acquired for himself Nezer Kedusha, a crown of Kedusha forever. The Yisho'er Loi, and that remains with him. That's the whole purpose of Nazirus. Such that, even when he's finished, when he's allowed to drink and the Torah calls him a Nozir, says the Al-Sheikh, why? Bishtoisoi, when he's drinking, Achar Kei Yayin, Einoi Nozir, why are you calling him a Nozir? Says the Al-Sheikh, no, because the whole purpose of becoming a Nozir was to remain a Nozir. Was to stay forevermore a Nozir. It's true, the halachas of Nazirus don't apply. The reason they don't apply is because they're not necessary. Because he's become a Nozir. He's not just like behaving like one, he in fact has become one. The Achar Yishteh HaNozir Yayin. That is the same principle that we're discussing. When he is mekabel on himself, his own private kedusha, how worthwhile is his nazirus? The answer is, as long as he can keep it going, it's worthwhile. If he finishes his nazirus and it all becomes something of the past, then it was a very non-worthwhile exercise. But if it's acha yishte ha-nozir yayin, he remains a nozir, that was the whole purpose. There's a very fascinating halacha. If you would stand up and you would say, I'd like to become a nozir, how long do you have to become a nozir for? So you can choose. You could be a nozir for half a year, you could be a nozir for 5 years, you could become a nozir for life. But what's the minimum? Minimum nazirus, says the Gemara, shloshim yoim, 30 days. Where does it say that in the Torah? The answer is, it doesn't say it. But it's hinted to. Where is it hinted to? Because the Gemara quotes a pasuk. It says, Nozir Yihyeh. How do you spell Yihyeh? Yud-Hei, Yud-Hei. Gematria, 30, says the Gemara. From here we learn, minimum Nazirus, 30 days. The Ramah has a sefer called Toiras Ha'Ola. And you know what he writes there? He says, look at where the Torah hints to us that Nazirus is 30 days. In which word? Yihyeh. What's translation of the word Yihyeh? A Nozir, he will be. That's future tense. Why doesn't it say Nozir who? He is. Not he will be. He is a Nozir. Says the Ramah. Ki ikar kedushasai shel Nozir. Because the main kedusha of a nozir, tihiyeh la'osid, is in future tense. It's not so important how he is during his nazirius period. Much more important is that nozir yihiyeh, that he should remain a nozir. That's the acha yishte ha-nozir yayin. Ki ikar kedushasai shel nozir, tihiyeh la'osid, will be in the future. Achar Hashlomas Yemei Nizrei. I once found a remarkable Meshechochma. It's almost a tautology because every Meshechochma is remarkable. The Meshechochma says, isn't it interesting that the Torah never explicitly writes how long you have to become a Nozir for? It's hinted to, with a very tenuous type of limit. Do you know why? Why did the Torah not really want to spell out how long you have to be a Nozir for? Says Rav Meir Simcha. Do you know why? How long does a person have to be a Nozir for? Do you know what the real answer is? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. As long as it takes to be koina in him, that kinyan that should remain with him forever, that's the real amount of time that he needs to be a Nozir for. And that's why the Torah did not spell it out. So the obvious addition to the Meshech Chochmah is that at the end of the day, although not spelled out, but the Torah did hint it to us, yes, in which word? In the word Yihyeh, in the future. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching us over here? I don't, as it were, really want to spell out how long you have to be a Nozir for. I'm going to hint to it that the Ikka is that Nozir Yihyeh. So this, Moirav Raboisai, is the principle we're learning tonight. Whenever there is a period of Kedusha, whether it be designated by the Torah, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, or Shmita, or whether it be something that you are makabel on yourself, nazirus, almost more important than the day or the year itself is the toisefes, is the addition, to make sure that it keeps going, to make sure that it spills over b'li matzorim. It's boundaryless, it has no limitations, and that's the way that we silence the accusing malach. The accusing Malach who says, look at these Yidden, once a day Jews. No, Tosfos Yom Kippurim. it spills over Erev, it spills over Moitzai, and so too in Shemitah. All of the Yesoides of Shemitah, the Kinyonim of Emunah Bakadosh Baruch Hu, Bitachin Bakadosh Baruch Hu, all of those are kept going. They're brought early and they're taken out late. Tosefes Shemitah, believe me, sorry. Maybe just in conclusion, somebody asked me last week, one of our Kovel members, he actually said it's his wife who asked him the question, how do we keep the current Hisoiris going? A very, very timely question. Especially timely here in Eretz Yisrael in particular, where restrictions are being eased. We, Baruch Hashem, was zeicha to learn back in our Beis HaMedrash today, Minyonim are beginning in shuls, restrictions are beginning to be eased. But with it comes the worry that maybe our Hisoiris, Chas V'Shalom, will also become eased. And that's what he was asking. How do we ensure that we keep it going? Let's maybe rephrase the question. How can we be mechazik ourselves? How can we keep a tosefes? How can we make sure that this phenomenal period of our lives has a tosefes? And that the accusing malach cannot come, chas v'shalom, and say, they were all mekabel chizukim, maybe during corona, or what happened afterwards? I mentioned to some of you in a different shir, in our Tfilah Vad, the frightening interview that I read in the Hamadiyah newspaper with the world's leading expert in vaccinations. And they asked him, why is it that no government, no health organization in the world has a vaccination against corona? And he said, because governments over the years simply have not invested enough money into this area of vaccination. What a shame, he said. Because if only they would have done so, things would look very differently now. So the interviewer asked him, and he said, well, surely, can you imagine after corona, surely governments will plow millions and billions into vaccination research then? And he answered back quite phenomenally, I don't think it will happen. Why not? He said, because in previous plagues, epidemics, pandemics, SARS and Ebola and the like, there was a lot of talk then amongst government officials about the importance of investing financial packages into the area of vaccination research, and they spoke and they spoke and they talked and they talked and they pontificated, and then once the pandemic finished, all the talking finished as well, and nothing happened. And he said, quite frankly, I believe the same will happen now as well. Our avoda is, of course, to ensure that chas v'shalom, that doesn't happen to us. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Miri Rosh Hashiva, once said, he writes this in his sefer, his famous pshat in a puzzling Maimon Chazal, Shaul HaMelech gave his daughter Michal to David HaMelech. To Palti Ben Laish. Palti Ben Laish was extremely concerned because, without getting into the details of the story, it seemed to be, as far as he was concerned, that actually Michal was already married to David HaMelech. And Palti Ben Laish said, I cannot possibly therefore live with her. It will be an Issur D'oraisa. Says the Gemara, what did he do? He took a sword and he stuck it in between his bed and her bed. And he said, if anybody dares chas v'shalom be nichshal, they will be stabbed by this sword. That was his safeguard. Chas v'shalom, not to be nichshal in Navera. He had that sword placed right in place. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I don't understand. He was the one who put the sword there. As easy as it was to put it in, he can easily just take it out. What type of prevention is that to have that sword there? Said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because when he was initially so charged up when he felt chas v'shalom, he felt all that spiritual ruchni energy that I mustn't be nichshal ba'aveira. Instead of thinking to himself, I'm sure I'll be feeling like this tomorrow, and the day after, and the week after, he knew that that wouldn't happen, that his oiris would eventually dissipate. So he concretized it now by doing an act, a maisa, of putting that sword there. So that every time he saw that sword, even if he wouldn't be feeling the same, that the sword would remind him and would reawaken that initial charge of energy, so that he would forever be able to relive that his oiris, and that way be safeguarded from not being nichshal in an aveira. But that was his secret success. He didn't just talk, he did a maisa. And his maisa was putting that sword there. And as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz writes, Yesh koina oilomoi b'shor achas. You can conquer the world. You can be koina your world, b'shor achas, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. We're all zeicha to shor achas. We all have moments of inspiration. But it's only yesh. There are those, not everybody, who are ensuring that koina oilomoi. This week, in our limited Lag BaOmer celebrations, as we sang, we celebrated the life of Rabbi Akiva and of Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Akiva turned round his whole life in 1 second because he saw that rock with a hole in it. And it's safe to say that thousands before and thousands after saw that same rock. And they must also have thought to himself, what an incredible sight this is, that water can pierce a rock. And what happened to them? We have no idea. But Rabbi Akiva, we know what happened to him. Because the Chazal that talks about him says, when he saw that rock and realized that if water can penetrate a rock, then Torah can penetrate his heart, do you know what the next word is? That's the key. The next word in the Maamar Chazal is Miyad. Holach Labeis HaMedrash. Immediately. He didn't talk about it. He didn't go around telling people. He did something as a result. Yesh Koina Oyolomoi V'Shor Achas. In fact, his name Akiva, Ayin, Kuf, Yud, Beis, Aleph, is Rosh HaTeves. Yesh Koina Oyolomoi V'Shor Achas. That's not just what he did. That was his entire essence. Akiva is Yesh Koina Oilomoi B'Shor Achas. And that therefore is really the answer to my friend's question. How is it that we can ensure that the Hisoiris keeps on going and going? And the real answer is, the nature of Hisoiris is it comes and then it dissipates. The Avoida is to make sure that before it's too late, make sure that we've all firmly planted that sword in the place. Make sure that we have already undertaken and we are well underway with realistic chizukim, so that even when Corona is behind us, may it be soon, that the hisoirus, the chizukim that we gain from that, that toisvus, that spillover of Belima Tzorim, that will continue, that will remain with us. And if I may just say in conclusion, imagine after an uplifting Yom Kippur, you look at your clock, you're exhausted, you're hungry, you're thirsty, you're tired, and you look at your watch and you see there's an hour to go. Nobody thinks to themselves, wow, Baruch Hashem, I can start easing up now, we're almost over. To the contrary, during Ne'ilah, that's the time that we intensify our efforts. That's not when we start loosening up. That's when we make sure that that sword is firmly planted in place. We are now in the Ne'ilah of Corona. As things are beginning to return life as normal, when really we hope that they will never return to as normal. We don't want to return the normality that we had before. We want there to be a new reality now. As we come to the end of this, not chas v'sholom now to loosen up. To the contrary, we're now during Ne'ilah. If we genuinely want to ensure that there will be a toisefes, not chas v'sholom a toisefes to the tzar and to the choylim, but rather a toisefes to the hisoyrus, so that we too can say nozir yihiyah, that we can say achar yishte hanozir yai, and we still want to remain as a nozir, nozir yihiyah in the future. We don't want to be like that malos accusation that they are nekiyim mikol chet when the yom hakipurim, just during Shabbos, just during Yom Tov, just during Shmitah. No, we keep it going and going and going and going. And that's the principle of Tosefos. And so too, on the one hand, we daven daily that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should put an end to this difficult tkufa. But with it, we hope and we daven also that we will have our sword firmly planted in place, so that the day after Corona, the Mocharas Yom HaKippurim, it will be Nozir Yihiyah. And we will genuinely be Mekayim, the Yisoid, and the Mitzvah of Tosefes, so that our Chizukim, our Yisoiros, will be Ezras Hashem, remain with us forever and ever.